start with a famous Maisa. Shlomo Shadron. Shadron was the famous Maggid. And the stories of him, a big Shia, big Oilim used to come to the Shia over there. And there was a fellow who came into the Shia over there, a little bit more modern guy, used to come into the Shia. And it was Mamash Kavua in the Shia over there. One day he noticed that this fellow stopped coming to the Shia. So he went up to him in the street, he said, "No, what happened? Why don't you come to the Shia anymore? It's a Gishmak Shia, Gishmak, he wishes to come." He said, "I'll tell you, until now it was very Gishmak, it was very easy, it was very nice. Oh, but right now, I'm a footballer. And when it comes to football season, right, as a soccer player, football, as a Mela, it becomes a little bit difficult. I've got to start practicing, I've got to start doing all sorts of things to practice for the big game." So he said, "But Mela, I can't come." Zugum Shalom, that he says, "What's football? What is this football? What is this soccer? What's it all about?" So he starts explaining it to him. He says, "Hey, you have to see, there's a big goal over there. There's a guy who stands in the middle. You try to kick the ball in, and there's a guy who stops it, and the more guys that get to make the more goals, because it's a Gishmak, it's everything." He says, "Don't understand. Just go in the night, in the middle of the night, there'll be nobody there by the goal. And then he can go, weiter, as many as he wants. As long as he shalom." He says, "You don't understand. The whole Gishmak," he says, "was when? The whole Gishmak is to come when there's a crowd and there's an oilam and everybody's looking and everybody's cheering and it's a whole matzah. That's the Gishmak. Very nice to kick them all in. Oh, but you want the Gishmak also." Zogum Shalom, I'm sorry. It's the same thing over here. It's all very nice to go to a shib. Say that's easy. You go in, out, you listen, you don't listen. What's enough Gemina? Over here right now, Zogum Shalom to this fellow, when over here you have a temptation of a football match or rehearsals, whatever it may be, now's the test. Now let's see if you can come. And the Maisa goes, that Taka the next day, he came to the Shia, and Shlom Shadron, Mamish from the Gedolim, stood up for this fellow when he came into the Shia. So Baruch Hashem, you guys, nobody has to come here, nobody has to come any other day also. Make it a day, it's a hard day, it's raining, it's a long way to walk from the dorms. So Baruch Hashem, you guys came in, you had a little bit of Torah. So I'll stand up for anybody based on Shem tomorrow morning. I hope. Bli neida. Lom again baita. Let's start the Inyan. Some guys were here last year and we recognized a few Inyanim. We added a few Inyanim based on Shem. We start outside. There's a Maisa in a prison. There's three fellows in a prison. It's not a joke, what I say. Three fellows in a prison. One fellow, two fellows, these guys were like normal guys. And one guy was a little bit missing a few bolts and screws over there. So what happened is, every single day, they bring in the food to this mokum. They bring in the food to the cell. It's dark, mamish dark. And it's a whole business over there to try and figure out which is the knife and which is the fork. It's a whole business over there. So that's how they figure it out. The clever guys are okay. And the other guy, every single day, he's got a problem. Pasha can't figure it out. So one day, I mean every single day, one of the clever guys decides, I'll look after him. And I'll show him every single day, this is the fork, this is the knife, and Baruch Hashem. Now, weeks and weeks away, he gets a little bit fed up. He says, "Come on, you know, do me a favor over here, you know. Why every day I have to be the one to show him? Maybe give me your hands. Maybe help me out a bit." So he says, "Mesela, I'll help you out, but I've got a better reason why I don't do it." "What's my reason?" He says, "Because every single day, I take my spoon, and I chisel a little bit into the wall. And that eventually will lead to the light coming through the cell. And therefore, this guy, this fellow, will be able to eventually, on his own, do it by himself." She says, "I'm helping more than you. You're doing a temporary thing, and I'm doing something right." Now, the Rebbe, the Chassidish Rebbe's, used to bring this Maisa as the Maisa of Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah is when you had a Zman, where it's dark, and most times it's cold, and it's raining, and people are, you know, in the middle of Zman, and they get a little bit down, and the light of the Hanukkah, right, is supposed to represent the light that can bring out a person and the future of this person. I want to speak about a certain Inyan, and then Beit Hashem will get into how it affects Betzim Hanukkah. So there was a message once, somebody invited a Choshev Rosh Yeshiva to his house. Rosh Yeshiva comes in, and the table is laid with the tablecloth, and the beautiful china, and the food, and everything is mamish beautiful over there.
And the Shishiva says, Chaval, you know, it's a Thursday night, the Arab Shabbos already. You have to nail this table for me. You know, it's the wife, the whole business. No, he said, don't worry. This, we do this every Thursday night, we eat like this. It's unbelievable. All of a sudden, the daughter runs out. She says, Tati, I'm going to my friends, but don't make Kiddush before me. Don't make Kiddush before I come back. What's going on over there? What's the pshat? The pshat is when we look at something, often, we'll see something, and it looks a certain way. But really, it's not that way. It really is different to how it looks. And there's a lot of things that fit into this category. Where something be'etzem looks a certain way, but it's not always the way it is be'etzem. There's a Sefer Olenu Shabeach, and he brings a Mosek Kedvat Torah over there, which brings home a very choshev point. The Pasuk in Mishpatim tells us, imagine if a person is walking in the street, and he sees his enemy's donkey coming down, mom is loaded with a ton of stuff, and this donkey is having a trouble, and the donkey falls, and everything goes all over the place. Is he supposed to help him or not? Right? Right, it's his enemy, right? Doesn't like him, not Gishmak. Zut da loshen le Pasuk, azoiv tazoiv imoy. Right? Azoiv tazoiv imoy. Go and help him. Ah, he's your enemy. So what? You gotta help him out. You gotta do a tchesed for somebody else. So ask the question. I don't understand. Pasha the kasha. La azor means to help. What's azoiv? You know what azoiv means in modern Hebrew? Means to leave. What's azoiv tazoiv, which means la azor? You go into a shop and say, Eshol la azor. Why? Can I help you? So what's pshat? Lashon HaPasuk? Azay tazoiv. What's pshat? What does it mean to leave? See, he brings over there pshat from the Bishoylem. He says as follows. I don't know if it's posh pshat, but it's a beautiful pshat. He says, pshat is as follows. If a person sees his enemy, he sees somebody that he does not like, and this person needs help, whatever it may be. So you have a choice. Either, you look over, I didn't see him, you know. I guess, you know, when the guy comes around collecting stalker, and you see the kid, all of a sudden they're busy learning over there, you know. I didn't see the guy. So that's one choice. Or you can say, no, I'm going to go and help him. So Zulu Bissoyan Pshat in the Pasuk like this. Azoy means, if you leave your problems that you have with this guy, let the bygones be bygones. Forget the problems, forget the enemy, forget all the things they did to you. Leave it alone! And go and help him, then Tazoy Imoy. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will leave all the things and all the tainus that he has against you, and he'll help you also when you need it. So that's what he wants to tie in the Parshat Pshat and the Pasuk is. That if a person that sees something, it's not Gishmak, he doesn't want to do whatever it may be, or if it's the right thing to do, and he goes along, and he says, you know what, I don't like him, it's not Gishmak, I've got other things to do, whatever it may be. And he says, no, I'm going to go help him. Azoy Taz, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, you know what, I'll make the same cheshbon when it comes to you also. I'll also help you out when you need help. There's a Medrash Tanchuma, Mamish this week's parasha, we just had in this week's parasha, by Yosef, so we know that Binyamin was suspected him of stealing the goblet, right, from Yosef. They all go there and said, you're the guy that stole it. And what happens? Everyone knows the story of the Maisa. Now the Medrash says a very interesting thing. Says the Medrash, Loshna Medrash, is that the brothers said to Binyamin, Ganav bar Ganavto, you're a thief, the son of a thief. What's the pshat? You're a thief because you stole the goblet, and you're the son of a thief because your mother stole the trophim from her father when they left at that time. And that's what they told him. Now the fit number foshim and pasha the kasha. Why didn't he just say it wasn't me? I didn't do anything. I was set up. It's not because I did anything, and I'm not blaming on anybody else. They made him over there, they're trying, they're messing me over, they put him to my back. What's it going to do with me? Why didn't he do this? Like the Mephoshim. Such a posher as that. So then I'll tell you why. Because if he would have gone along, and he would have said, it wasn't me, then that means that in Ochanami, he's denying the fact of stealing the goblet, but he's admitting the fact that his mother was a Ganef. Because that's what they accused him of. And rather than let his mother have that disgrace, he let himself have it instead, and he wasn't worried about his personal covers and his personal situation, and then maybe he said, alright, I'm not going to say anything, let them suspect
me. How does that take away from his mother?
No, because by saying I can do it, say, you're right, my mother, what can I do over me?
That's what, but if you say,
what did he say? I don't know what he
said. He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. That's what everyone thought he did.
It's called Ganav Bargan After, whatever.
Huh?
It's called Ganav Bargan After.
No, but he didn't do it. What, therefore, you had to say it, but then rather than say, I didn't do it, but my mother did. Better rather leave it status quo.
Why would they think his mother did? His mother wasn't.
No, that was an older than other parishes. Out of other parishes. What's the pshat? You look at a story, and you think, I know what's going on over here. I know what this guy said. Someone said something about me. Someone said something to me. Someone did something to me. I know what's going on. What do we see, Paul? All of these vices, what do we see? There's a surface level of something that's going on. And there's the undersurface level of what's really going on. And often we don't know what's really going on. And often it boils down to one thing. A person thinks of himself. A person is not thinking about somebody else. A person is not thinking about how it affects somebody else. Thinking about me. What about my COVID? What did you do to me? What's going on over here? And I'll just tell you, Pasha Zach, Mamish, last week's parasha, 2 weeks ago, we had, also by Yosef, we had a parasha where at the beginning there was a dream. At the end, there was also a dream, right? Everyone remember the beginning of the dream was Yosef's dream. What was Yosef's dream? They all bowed down to me. And the other part, and the end of the parasha was what? The dreams by the prison over there, right? When he interpreted them. What's the difference between the two dreams? In the first dream, what happened? Yosef went from being come at the top of the world, famished godless, all the way down to a pit. And in the end of the parasha, what happened? He went from a pit, from being in the prison, all the way up to being come out the top of the whole place over there, and it's right. What's the left mean? What happened? Two dreams, two different effects. What's going on? So there, I heard a beautiful chat once. It says like this. In the beginning of the dream, meaning of the parasha, the dream was what? Look at me. I'm in the middle. Everyone's bowing down to me. Everyone's serving me. Ich bin der Melech. That's what he said. What did it cause? Straight down. At the end of the parasha, there was also a dream. What was that dream? That wasn't his dream. It was the guy was in the prison. So he said to him, let me ask you a question. I'm going to go and interpret your dream. Not me, your dream. That's what they want to tell you. And that one, when he did that, that took him all the way up to being the head of Mitzrayim. Why? Because when a person doesn't focus on himself, and he's focusing on other people, and he's focusing on how things concern other people, however it may be, so then a person is rising up.
He said Hashem, it's Hashem. Hashem.
Now there's an interesting thing that we said last year also, that the Hebrew words for a person when he's alive is neshama, right? Neshama. What's the Hebrew word for a person when he's come out dead? Neshama, right? Neshama is an air, empty, dead, come out, there's nothing doing anymore. What's the nafkamina? One has got azoi, neshama, and one's got azoi, right? Neshama. What's the nafkamina? The only nafkamina is this. That's all it is. That is the nafkamina to someone that's dead. As someone that's alive.
Hebrew or Russian Kurdish?
Hebrew.
So you're saying Neshama also?
Get it again?
Say Neshama.
No, that's how I pronounce it. It's written
differently?
Now, Mela, what's the nafkamina between Neshama, that when someone alive, and Neshama, when a person is come out empty and dead? The nafkamina is that little bit of support. When a person gives a support to somebody else, he can turn from being in Neshama, from being empty, from being dead, to be in the Shoma, to be alive and to be well. Now the Maisa, there's a famous Maisa in America. It was a Bacha from a very Choshev Mishpacha. Very Choshev Mishpacha. And he went Kibbat off. Mama, she wasn't keeping anything. No tzitzis, no cup, no davening, no tefillin, gunish, no Shabbos, gunish. His parents took him to a big mechanic in America. And they said to him, listen, I'm leaving him with you. Do your magic. See? So what did he do? Takes the Bacha to Landau's. Well, he knows Landau's, a mini factory over there. And he decides, what is he going to do? He knows that it's this Bacha's birthday. I'm going to buy this Bacha a present. What's the present? An Aliyah. No, how much Aliyah go for already? $3, $5, $6. No, Nishka Bela. Say that, I'll buy him a birthday present. So he starts bidding. 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 20, 50, 25, 30, 35, 40, 50. What's going on over here? And there's anything like in my life. What's this? $5, $6? What's that? Someone whispers there. By the way, there's Lubavitch HaChosid over here. And it's a Gimel, I think. It was Zion Kisling. The mum is the Rebbe. It's not again. They told him to stop. But don't forget about it. You'll never win this game. So what did he do? He looked in his wallet. And his Bacha's watching the whole time. Because he can't see what's going on. And his boy's watching him. What's he going to do? He's going to buy. He's not going to buy. How much am I worth? So he goes and takes off his wallet. When he sees in his wallet, there's $120. He goes up to the middle and he says, $120. And he gets it. And he gets it. He wins the aliyah. Right? Let's say there's a bunch of horses that goes to the next, gets the next minute, buys it for $5. That's not the point. You got the Bobber gets his aliyah. Was he proud? He got his aliyah. The end of davening, the guy goes over to the Gabba. No, I'm going to pay you. Gabba says, don't worry. It's been paid for already. So what do you mean? Who paid for it? The old man over there. You see him? He paid for it. So he goes over to the old man. He says, what's the chat? What are you doing this for? You paid? I know you are Bacha. You know me? He says, no, let me tell you something. When I was a Bacha, I had exactly the same problem as this Bacha had. I was alone in the world. Nobody was looking after me. No one cared about me. And I see what you're doing for this Bacha. And I wanted a piece of the schar of you're going to get for helping out this Bacha. I saw the radiance on his face. I saw what it meant to him. And maybe I wanted a cut in that schar. That's what he did for him. Now there's another Maisa that took place many years ago, before the Holocaust, that there was a war going on in Germany. Then, this is before the Holocaust. And then the war was going on, there was a Yid in the army over there, and he sees somebody get shot down. He falls on the floor. Na'echa, it's probably a German. So he goes over, and he risks his life. He goes over, he takes the German, and he pulls him in, and he takes him inside, and they take him to hospital, and they make him better. And right before, right, this guy, he saw, right before they took him away, so this German soldier that was on the stretcher opened his eyes for a minute, looked up to see who it was, to see who his person that saved him, closed his eyes, and weiter. Never heard of him again. 20 years later, the Holocaust was about to happen. Literally, the people in Poland were not sure, is it not, is it true, I can't believe it. They were mummish, not sure of the matter. They get a bang on the door one night, and in comes in a German soldier. And everyone gets scared. German soldier coming to your house, not posh it. And he says, is this so and so? He says, yes. He says, listen, I was 20 years ago that soldier that you saved my life. And I owe you my life. I looked you up, I found out who you were in the end, and I've followed you ever since, and I know that you're the person. And he said, I saw last night a list of a group of people that are going to be rounded up and taken off to never be seen again. You're on that list. You can do whatever you want with this information. I'm paying back my debt. And he leaves. And this guy was unbelievable. He went and told all of the people. Hundreds and hundreds of people left the ghetto that night because of what that soldier said. And the next morning they walked in and Shemi Rachel, what happened over there? And it's because of that person that hundreds, I'm sure thousands of people nowadays are still alive because of what that one person did. That one bit of mysterious nefesh, that one bit of not thinking about what's best for me. What I'm going to gain from it? There's a soldier there. He's probably a German. He's probably a Nazi. What's the Nazi? I have to go save him. I have to go risk my life. I'm a soldier. You know, these things are not pushed. And he goes over there and he risks his life. And he went and he did it. And because of that one Maisa, look what happened after that. They say also a Maisa that happened not so long ago, unfortunately, with Yeshiva Bacha that went to go visit his grandmother. He wanted to go visit his grandmother. His grandfather was nifta a few weeks ago. His grandmother was feeling not so gishmak. So he wants to go. We'll go out for dinner one night. So he makes the time. He arranges it up. We're going to go to the coastal bus. We're going to have milchah. Then we're going to come to you. Gets in. He's running late. He calls up his grandmother. Says, listen, I'm running a couple of minutes late. So have it in the cheshvan. Goes over to the coast. He's done with the gishmak. He's waiting for the bus. And a guy comes over to him with a carriage. With a baby. He says, listen, I left my sitter in the coastal. Do me a favor, just watch my baby for 10 minutes, I'm going to go running back. He said, listen, I'll hop a bus, I need to go check my bus. I said, I'll be back, don't worry. So he's waiting, and all of a sudden the bus comes. Where's this guy? He's nowhere to be seen. And he's busy holding his baby. What can he do? What's he meant to do? So he waits. Eventually the guy comes back. He missed his bus. And he knows the next one's in 20 minutes. So go over to his grave, went over to the payphone. I'll go call my grandmother, tell her, don't be worried. I'm coming in 20 minutes, I have to get the next bus. He goes over to the line. The line is a huge line for the payphone over there. Forget about it. I'm not doing that. Again?
Payphone by the
person? Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. So what happened was, he waits and waits and waits and waits, and an hour later, nothing doing over there. So that's it, I'm going by taxi, and off he goes. He goes over to the ghost of his grandmother's house. Knocks on the door. Nothing doing. What's going on over here? She's waiting for me. What's that? She's a bit worried. I'm a bad son. I'm here. Knocking. Eventually, he lets himself inside. He goes inside. He sees his grandmother facing the other way and just crying. He said, what's that? He said, you're here. You were meant to be on that bus. And you weren't on that. And I thought, you were meant to be at that time. That means you got that bus. And that bus exploded. Many people were killed. Many people were injured in that bus. And he was meant to be there. But why wasn't he there? Because he did that one Maisa. that one act of selflessness, when you're not thinking about what I want to do, very nice, I have a bas, but the mindset, somebody asked me to do a chesed, so I'll do a chesed. I'm not going to be thinking of myself all the time. Now, Ba'etzem, a bachur in this yeshiva actually told me a maisa that happened to him, and I got so much chizuk from it, I have to repeat, he's actually sitting in the room now. It's not coming in who it is. Koshev a bachur. He told me, he once went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky told him, I'll give you a bracha. What's the bracha of Rav Chaim Kanievsky? Yes. Bracha v'atzlacha. Very nice. What does that mean? Have bracha. Have atzlacha. Gishmak. Said, what happens if a person goes to a footballer? He goes to a soccer player, a baseball player. What does that baseball player say? He says, look, here's a piece of paper. I'm writing my autograph. Take it. What does that mean? Take a piece of me. Take some of me with you. I don't care about you. Take some of me with you. The Gedolim and the Yidden Be'etzem are hopefully not like that. The Gedolim Be'etzem is not pshat, me. You. I want you to have bracha v'hatzlacha. I want you to do everything. And unfortunately we can say that we can, it's always good and easy to blame it on something, but we can always blame it on the technology that we have nowadays. Many remember what we said last year. I think it's a maisa and tzeber, hush of a point. But nowadays, the technology that we have often puts things into our head. And it puts us thinking a certain way. For example, the iPod, right? The iPhone. What's I? Everything's I. iPhone, iPod, TSI, PSI. They all the names. I had all these names. PSI. Everything's I. What's pshat? And you go to Nintendo. Nintendo made the brand new thing. What's it called? The Wii Machine. How do they spell it? W-I-I, not W-E-E. What's the chance? Everything's I. Everything's me. Everyone's worried about the I. Everyone's worried about the me. What about someone else? I don't care. It's me. I'm worried about myself. I'm not worried about anybody else. And it's them that does it to us. And if this Yisoid, by the way, was Be'etzem, what comes into Hanukkah. Because the Yevonim, we know, the Greek nation, Be'etzem, everything was about what? Everything was about me. Everything was about my body, my literature, my history, my everything. Everything was about myself. Everything was about building up myself. And when a person stops thinking about himself, and he concentrates on Hashem, he concentrates on others, whatever it may be, there's a world of difference. There was a maaser with a bacha, Lalenu, he got cancer, and they were treating him, and he was holding by chemotherapy. They took him into the place over there to give the chemotherapy. They set the machine, and they said, no, off you go. Get undressed and go inside. He said, besides, I'm nothing on my tzitzis. You mean nothing on your tzitzis? You can't wear, it doesn't work otherwise. You push it, this is chemotherapy, this is mamish pekuach nefesh, this. Not a joke. You take off your tzitzis and you go inside. I'm not taking off my tzitzis. It's a shmira. I'm not interested. So, what's she going to do? She calls in the head doctor. Head doctor, please, you know, help me out of here. What's going on? She gives him the shmooze. You have to admit it. It's medical and he's nothing. I'm not doing it. And as he's doing it, the doctor goes over to the dials, and he says, looks over and he says, Shem Yirachim. The woman that set the dials set it totally wrong. And if he would have gone into the machine at that time, Shem Yirachim, what the results would have been. Oh, but why? Because he was thinking about mitzvahs. He was thinking about Torah. He was not thinking about himself. He was Moshe Nefesh. There was another Moshe. One more Moshe, and we'll get to the other Zachim. Well, the Moshe was like this. There was a certain school in America that were having once a hard time. Financially, mamash having a hard time. They decided, we have to cut down on the guy. It's not, we cannot go weiter. There are people who are not paying their tuition. We can't go weiter. We can't have a school like this. They were paying, it's chadorim, the whole mice over there. They decided to make a certain takana of someone that couldn't pay, and they decided they're going to keep to it, because if they don't keep to it, then it doesn't work. So there was a certain boy in the cheder over there, who's unfortunately, never had a father. He had his mother looking after him, he didn't have any money. So the kids at that point never got any money to the school. So they decided, that's it, this guy has to go home. That's very sad, but what can we do? We can't run a school without money. So they wrote a note saying over there, listen, we understand it's a very bad situation, I'm really, really sorry, you know, this is not our policy, but for Essen, if we make exceptions, then we'll make an exception for everybody. So they wrote him a note, Haley Rebbe said, go home, nothing we can do about it. So he goes home, shows his mother, and his mother said, no, go bring me your school bag. He brings him his school bag, the mother goes to her room, she comes back, go take this to your Rebbe. So the boy comes back into the class over there, and he puts his bag back onto the table. And the Rebbe says, well, he got upset. What are you doing here? And he flings the bag. And as he flings it on the floor, he sees coming out of the bag is a diamond ring and a note. And he sees over there, what's the note? The note goes like this. I have nothing much for my husband left, but one thing I have is a diamond ring, and I'm willing to give it up to the school to pay for my son's tuition, to make sure he gets a chinuch in Torah. This was in the Siddur's Nefesh Obeisai. This is what it means when a person does not think of himself be'etzem, about other things, about other people, about surrounding, not me, not everything's myself. If you look at Anna Nissim, getting back into Hanukkah a bit, you look at Anna Nissim, so look at the difference between the Purim one and the Hanukkah one. Be'etzem is the same thing. Have a look. It basically says the story, he wanted to kill us, he wanted to harm us, it didn't work out, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made the name, very gishmak. But the Maizah is the same thing. What's the nafkamina between the Purim Alanism and the Hanukkah Alanism? The nafkamina is one word, bikesh. What's bikesh? Right, bikesh by homon. So Pashup Shad is as well. Pashup Shad is, so by Purim, homon, bikesh, he wanted to hurt us. He didn't manage. Masha'enge by Hanukkah, they can't manage. That's Pashup Shad. But I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. Be'etzem, Haman, there was nothing wrong with Haman. I mean, he wasn't a great guy. But Be'etzem, he didn't cause anything wrong to Klal Yisrael. When did he start to be a threat to Klal Yisrael? When it was Bikesh. The moment that Haman Bikesh to kill them, that's when all the problems started. Masha Einkin. Look at the Hanukkah story. The Hanukkah story, there was no Zman Be'etzem when it started. The moment that the Greeks came into power and they started forming a nation and they started getting on with the cinemas and the bodybuilding and all of these things, that's when it was the problem. It was a constant ongoing thing of the Greek nation Be'etzem. Now there's a big question when it comes to Hanukkah. You learn Hilchos Hanukkah. She says over there, we know the Gemara says. Let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara says, if a person wants to mekayim the mitzvah of Hanukkah, what does he do? He lights a candle. Ooh, very good. If he wants to be mahadrin, so every single person in the house also lights a candle. If he wants to be mahadrin, so then every person lights one thing every single time, depending on b'shama. But then we go up and up and up, until eventually every single person is lighting 8 candles on the 8th night. That's the mahadrin and the mahadrin. Rabbi Sam, you look at the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch skips out the whole thing. Do you ever find in Shulchan Aruch somewhere where it doesn't even mention the Ikar HaDin, what the actual mitzvah is, and it goes straight to the Mahajim and the Mahajim? Dainu. But first of all, learn Shulchan Aruch, Mr. Brewer, whatever it may be, and walk into somebody's house, and I'll say, hey, this guy's lighting one candle on the 8th night. What are you, mad? What are you, crazy? What's this guy doing? Oh, but bad, so we know, it's 100% Tosha, right? It's 100% a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah, you don't have to be'etzem do that. Of a mahajim and a hajim, a person wants to go ba'etzem, just have other he can like more. Of a be'etzem, one is. So there's an obvious question over here. What's chat? Where do we find that other mitzvahs, such as that, mahajim, minima, like even further, and if you want to go even further, so much so that Gans Klal Yisrael, on Mekayim this, mahajim, minima, hajim. This came out, not one person in Klal Yisrael, I believe, that's Mekayim, the Ikadin. And there's one candle every night. That's it. I don't believe it. If you see a guy that doesn't work, even the non-fumers, they light the candles, they light the chashmal switch, they put on the electricity. What's the pshat? So if you go back to the miracle of Hanukkah, it would explain everything. What's pshat over there? So we know that there was a gzeira, that it was asked to learn Torah. No learning Torah. So what they used to do, this was the makor for the heiliger dreidel minhag. They used to sit in all the groups, and they used to sit and learn. When the Greeks would come along, what they do? They get out, they put away the sparring, start playing dreidel. The Greeks would come in and say, hey, where are you going? Ah, so it's a casino, Mishkabela. And they go back. That's what they did. And then some yeshivas are slightly different. When the Rebbe comes, they put away the gambling, they put the sparring there. Say that. Slightly different than different yeshivas. Oh, but Be'etzem, that was it, that was the whole thing. That's what they did over there. Now, then Baita came along the Chashmonoim, and the Chashmonoim decided, enough is enough. That's it. Finished. We've had enough with this. What are we going to do now? We're going to go along and we're going to make an army. Right? And they ask permission. The Maaseh, they ask permission. Are we allowed to fight against them? I mean, the Greek army was serious massive over there. Are we allowed to fight? And the answer they were given was yes. Right? What does that mean, yes? That you don't have to. You can go and hide. Go run and hide. Go somewhere else. Go away from them and you'll be the Seder. Oh, but they decided, no. We are not standing up for this. We've had enough, and we're making an army. And they made an army, and look what happened to Maisa. They won every single time. They won the whole army. They won everything. Why? Because they did something more than what they had to do. Lamada than they had to do, right? Then they came, as everyone knows, they came into Beis HaMikdash, and all the guns come home, the kin to come home from Cheder, and they found the Pach Shemen, they couldn't find any Toro. Obviously the question is, what's going on in here? What we need, Toro oil. Everybody knows, right? You're allowed to like Tomei oil. You don't have to like Toro oil. It doesn't have to be. It could be Tomei. Never mind. They decided no. The whole nation of Hanukkah stemmed from one thing. From people that went more than what they were asked to do. They went weiter. They decided to do act more than what they were asked to do. More than the chiyuv, more than the obligation. Mimela, Elohim, you're right. We could theoretically like Tomei oil, but we don't want to. Because the Nes Be'etzem happened from something better than that. So we want something better than that. Baruch Hashem, they found the Torah oil. They lit it, and that was the Nes Be'etzem. And that's the Maisa, where it comes from, what we do. What we do is we all are Mekayim the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. We all do the best. Why? Because the whole Inyan of Hanukkah stems from what? People that weren't happy with just normal, okay, sort of thing. Like the Bokham, I sometimes get, not like that, for Bokham, whatever, some of it, and also, they call me out with different things, and they say to me, there's Mekinim in it, right? So there's someone who says it's probably okay. You know what I mean? About this Mekhmirim. Oh, but there's probably people also who are making, that's what they say to me. I don't understand, you know? Imagine I offer you guys a shidduch. I say, listen, I'm going to shidduch for you. It's not a great girl. No, but for you, it's alright. To say the gomel, you know what I mean? Would you be happy with that? No. You won't be happy with that. Why not? I want the best. I want the best. When you build a house, I want the best. When you have a car, I want the best. You're not happy to go, Sega, whatever it is. Right, when it comes to Hanukkah, right? The cheapest oil, the cheapest menorah, the cheapest whatever. I could grab the whole package deal, 11 shekel and a half, and I finish everything. Gavaldi. Right? Rega. The whole thing of Hanukkah, the whole nace of Hanukkah, was what? Was more than that. We're not happy with regular. We're not happy with regular kosher. We want Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. Right? That's what we want. And this Be'etzem is a big Yisoid, which you see in Bochum, you see also in Avichim also as well also. That a person can sell himself short. Literally. A person can look at himself and say, yeah, no, what can I do? What can I become? I can't do anything. I can't be like him. What am I going to do? Say that I'll be happy with what I am right now. And Be'etzem, you know, they say Maisa from Dan Fisher. Dan Fisher's atzal was one of the heads of the Badats. Mamash was going oilam. Mamash, unbelievable. Mamash, he was the biggest maker that was in Yerushalayim Kamat. And he was a tremendous, tremendous gavul. And I saw once written down someone that was in Cheder with him. And he said, I remember being in Cheder with Dan Fisher. And he said, it used to pierce me in the heart every time I saw a big sign in the streets, Dan Fisher is coming to speak in the shul. So you know why? Because I was clever than him. I was better in learning than him. Oh, but Be'etzem, look what he became. At 12 years old, he said to his friends, that's it. I'm not going to anymore play, I'm going to sit and learn. And look what happened to him. Rabbi, every single person in this room, guaranteed, I make no exceptions whatsoever, can decide at one moment of his life and say, that's it. I'm not happy with the way I'm doing it. I'm not happy with the way I'm going. I want to go weiter. I want to become something. I want to do something. Right? And nobody can come up with an excuse. I'm not clever. I haven't got this. I haven't got that. But basically, I didn't come to yeshiva any cleverer than any of you. And I'm still not cleverer than any of you. The answer, I came as a regular guy. I asked if some remembers the ponytail and the earrings of other... Oh, but Be'etzem, I came in it like everybody else. Mamish, I wasn't anything special, and the brain of anything special, and there are plenty of people that are much, 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 much cleverer than me. Oh, but you know what? A person has to come along and have to make a decision that it's not enough to be okay. Yeah, the Seder, I learned a few years in Yeshiva, I'll go to Kulel, very nice, then I'll become an Avreich, and then maybe I'll go to work in America, and I'll make some money, don't worry, I'll send a check to the Kulel, very nice. Oh, but Be'etzem, every single person in this room, and even if not in this room, can become something Be'etzem, but he just has to make that decision. And it's often that lack of decision is what the person sometimes lacks. Like a person who push it has to put the ladder by the wall, and after the ladder is by the wall, then he can climb up. Right? Everyone knows the Maisa. Everyone knows the Maisa from the teacher once, said it by the Shea once, the teacher that told all the class guys, everybody went up to the 100th floor. Right? So the first guy says, me? 100th floor? What are you, crazy? I'm not doing it. Played it. He's out. Next guy says, alright, I'm going to try it. And he goes up, he's, by 15, forget it. What can I do? I can't anymore. The next guy meets the 100th floor. How did he get there? What's the chance? The guy says, come on. You know why? He said, he went to the 24th. He said, I can't do anymore. I could do one more. He did one more, 25th floor, and he got the elevator all the way up to the end. Right? It's often, I'm telling you, I sometimes see it in guys. I speak to guys at this yeshiva also. And sometimes you see a guy that's mamish holding there. He's mamish kvaldik, he's on the right train. But he got up on the right, on the wrong stop. He possibly just, he possibly missed the boat. And you think it's such a chaval. Why did he do that? He could have turned, guys, mamish kvaldik, he's a gishmak, he could have this, he could have that. Oh, he sold himself short. Why? Because he's happy with how it is. You know why? It's easy that way, that's why. It's much, much, much easier. Well, I had to go learn all the time. I had to sit and learn all day. That's not gishmak, it's hard. It's not, no. Every single person will do it and have a gishmak. I remember when I was in yeshiva, or yeshiva once came in. He walked in, stood by the shtender, and he said the following. He said like this. If you taste it, Torah, then you never leave. And if you leave, it means you didn't taste it. And we all looked at him like, huh? What are you, crazy? What are you talking about? And Baruch Hashem, now I understand what he's talking about. When a person puts himself be'etzem to what he could be, and he doesn't sell himself short, be'etzem he can become something. But he needs to make that little decision. He needs to make that little thing. God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to turn myself around. I'm going to do it. And when he does that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. Like you guys, Baruch Hashem, learning the Gemara in Makkos, right? That feud, Masha over there, right? But there's Oidim Reitzelena, Hashem Malichin Oisoit. The malachim come and they escort you. If a person be'emes wants to do something, or the be'emes, and I mean be'emes because sometimes there's a lot of things in chutzot that are pulling him back. Right? I had a lot of things in chutzot pulling me back also to come back after 6 months. Or the be'emes, if a person wants to do it and he really feels this is the right thing to do and I'm going to do it, he just has to make that decision. And once he makes that decision, he can mamash go weiter. Beis Hashem, Rabbi, his Chanukah should be a lichtig zman. They brought down the Chassidus Sfarim. The Chanukah is the time for Mesiras Nefesh. The Chanukah is the time for Siach D'Shmaya. You see, the Beis Medrash is empty. That means all the people who are learning here are automatically noter schar kulam and getting a tremendous schar. Rabbi Yisai, the Oyelim should have a gevaldike Chanukah, and we have some food over here also.